I can smile again, and I don't have to worry, cause it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Come on, sing that out, say that.
I don't have to worry, cause
it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me.
It's working for me.
And I can hold my head up.
It's working.
Hey, get your confidence back. Sing, I don't have to worry.
It's working for me.
Hey, my faith is rising now.
It's working for me.
And although I can't see how,
it's working for me.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
We're looking at 1 John chapter number 4. And I don't know where to start or stop, but I'm just going to pick a spot, all right? We'll start at verse 7, and we'll parade and peruse until the Holy Spirit says stop, all right? I promise I'll try not to hold you very long. I know football is going to be kicking off, and certain time men will turn off their listening ear. Amen. So I'm not going to hold you too long here. I mean, that's me saying that. I don't know what the Holy Spirit got in store. Amen. Verse number 7. We'll look at that. When you have verse 7, you're looking at verse 7. So I have the word and ready to receive it. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. And he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. Amen. For he that loveth not his brother whom he had seen, and how can he love God who he had not seen? Amen. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Amen. May God of the blessing of his doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. 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 I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag, a topic to this message: manifesting God's love. manifesting God's love. And today, again, it'll be somewhat of a different message, something you may not be looking for, but it's what you get. Amen. Kind of like going to grandma's house and not knowing what she cooked. You just got to eat it. Amen. So we're going to kind of mix up some teaching and some preaching here, hopefully. And however it comes out, the Holy Spirit will have his way. Amen. Amen. The original message that God sent to us is the message of love. The key verse of the Bible, John 3:16, in which we all learn and know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. See how we all know that? And so we know that God's message to us is the message of love. We should understand that even the Ten Commandments, they were given so that we would have a love not only for God, but a love for our fellow man. The first five commandments are given for us to toward God, and then the last five are given for our relationship with mankind. Jesus said that on these two hang the law and the prophets. These two, meaning that the two commandments that he gave, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang the law and the prophets, meaning that on these two, you can bank on it no matter what you do, that if you do these two, you don't have to worry about anything else. You won't break the 10. Amen. And so the whole message of the Bible is a message of love. Talks about even in the beginning when we talk about in Genesis how Adam and Eve were created. And then we talk about how that sin came into the world through Adam when he ate of the fruit. And some people give Adam a raw deal. They don't give him true credit for what he did, because the reason the Bible says that Adam willfully ate of the fruit, Eve was deceived. And the reason Adam willfully ate is because he knew the death that Eve was going to die. And so he willfully took the fruit and said, I die with her. Y'all don't hear me here. And so his love for his wife was so strong that he chose death so that he could hopefully save her. The same message was given in Jesus Christ. He died. He who knew no sin took on sin for his wife, which is the church. I wish I had somebody. And he took death and chose death so that we might have life. The message of love. And so when we start to talk about love, we need to know that that is the real message, the whole message of the Bible. It is about love. And Jesus came to clear up the message because somehow the message had got distorted. Somehow, he chose, and God loved he loved so much that he chose the least of people. He chose the Jewish race. He chose the Hebrews to bring a message. And through that, the message began to get distorted because they began to put themselves higher than other people because of God's love. But God said, I want to show you something. I love the whole world, so I'm going to send my son to die for the entire world so that everybody may have the opportunity that those who were only Hebrew had the opportunity to do. That is to get to know me. Amen. And so we have to stand for love. We have to believe that love is real. We can't think that, that love is superficial. We need to know that love is deeper than that. And, you know, sometimes I talk to people and I say, you know, the English language does no justice for what love really is, because we have one word for love and then we pretend that we can only love a little bit at a time. I love your family. I love people who do good to you and things like that. Love one person and I don't love nobody else. You know, we can't do that. We have to love everyone. When you look at the Greek words for love, you have the word eros, which is the word for a love between a husband and a wife. You have philia, which is the brotherly love. You have agape, which is the God kind of love, which is sacrificial and, guess what, unconditional. And so we have to make sure that we display the God kind of love, because I can filial somebody, but I can let them hurt themselves and say, oh, well, I did love them, but look at what they did to themselves. Let them do that. But if I agape them, I say, look, I'm not going to let you go down this road by yourself. Amen. I'm going to sacrifice and I'm going to help you and bring you out of what you're in. Somebody say, man. Amen. And so when we talk about love, it is our duty, it is our job to make sure love is manifesting in our life. God didn't save us so that we can just shout. He didn't save us so we can show up on a Sunday morning and have church and put on a nice suit and get our wig right. And, you know, how he didn't just put us here for that. He didn't put us here so that we can try to use our power of prayer over another person's will. That is not why God put us here. He put us here to manifest love so that even if his word is not written, if they take all the books and they take all the iPads and your phones and they burn them up and say you can't have nothing to read when it comes to God, you will still have the word of God in you because you still have the love of God in you. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? John chapter 1 tells us that the word was God. And so we got the word in our heart. And who is the word? Jesus is the word. So who is Jesus? Jesus is everything that God wanted to say. He is everything that God wanted to express to us, which is love. Amen? And so John here, this writer, John is such a he is such a unique writer because everybody wrote about a whole bunch of stuff. Paul wrote about problems in the church. Peter wrote about encouraging people who are going through trials and tribulation. John just wrote about love. John just talked about what he knew about. He knew that he loved Jesus. How did he love him? He loved him so much that he went all the way to the cross while everybody else scattered. He followed him through his trial. And now that's love when people can go with you through your trial. I wish I had somebody. That's love when people can be there for you even though. And look, everybody had left except John. And John's standing there beside Jesus' mother. And Jesus said, this man loved me so much, I'm going to entrust my mama with him. Anybody, you know, you don't just entrust anybody with your mama. He said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He said, take care of her like a mother. And so John, he wrote several books. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He also wrote the book of Revelation because God gave him a revelation. And do you know that when you are a person who loves God, God will begin to reveal things to you that he don't reveal to everybody else? You know, what I'm saying basically is that God began to let you in on secrets that he didn't just broadcast to everybody because you are his love. You know, the pillow talk you have with your wife at night, that you can't talk to your friends at work, you know. Well, maybe not all y'all, but I do something. The stuff that you can talk about that is in secret that you don't talk about in public, God will be like that with you. He'll have an intimacy with you. Amen. And so John was such a unique person because he was the only disciple that did not suffer. He was the only disciple that did not suffer death by persecution or by some sort of martyrism. And so John, what he did, listen what John did. John was, they couldn't kill John. See, you can't kill love. And so they took John and they put him on an isle called Patmos all by himself, thinking that he would die. They wanted to silence him. They didn't want to hear no more about love. John lived. God gave him a revelation. John came back. John lived, and he went to Ephesus where Timothy was, happened to be the pastor or the bishop of the church, and he lived there, and John died an old man. John died in his hundreds, and the legend is that John was so old that he never changed his message out of all those years from age around 30 years old all the way for 70 some odd years. John had one message, and his message was love. And I thought about that, you know, because they say John would have young men would pick John up and carry him, and his voice being so frail, he would call people close to him, and he would tell them, just love. That was his message. And I thought about that. I said, you know, if John's message never changed, how come today we got to change messages to tickle people's ears? How come we got to find something that'll make people, you know, come to church? If love don't make you come, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you're here for the right reason if you don't come because of love, because the only reason we should come is because we love God. Amen. And the only other reason we should come is because we realize God loves us. Amen. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. And so if love don't do it, anybody wants somebody in your life and they don't really love you? Now, why would you want that? Why would you want somebody in your life and they don't love you? Well, God wants us to love him. And guess what? God wants you to know that he loves you.
Amen.
And guess what? God doesn't love you for what you did. God knows what you did. God don't care about that. He loves you because he created you and because he wants to see you prosper. He said, I love you so much, I send my word to prosper you. All right, let me get to the text because I'll be here too long. I'm just trying to convince you of the love, that we have to manifest the love of God. Now, look, he says, beloved, let us love one another. Why would John, before John gets to this point, let me point this out. John began to say that there are false, he said, don't believe everybody. Don't trust everybody that talk. Everybody that's preaching ain't preaching love.
Amen.
Read the text if you read it in your spare time. He says, don't believe every spirit. He said, because there are false prophets that are gone out already. He didn't say a couple. He said there are many. And when you find false prophets, they don't function in love. They try to draw you to themselves to get you as an opportunity to do whatever it is they want you to do to control your life. But when you fall behind someone who loved God or follow behind somebody who loved God, they deny themselves. They become sacrificial. Come on and say amen.
Amen.
And so he says, beloved, he said, let us love one another, for love is of God. This is what God produces in us is love. Somebody wants power, and they say, you know, I got the power of God, but you can't love. The devil is a lie. If you don't love people, that ain't God's power. That got to be from the devil. Amen. Because God's manifesting in love. Amen. And he said that, and this is the proof. Look, there are some things in manifesting God's love. There are some proofs, and I'm going to show you some things that love proves. Proves, when we look at this, when you have love, it proves that we are born of God and that we know him, right? So it proves we are born of God. Look at what it says in verse 7. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth him. The word knoweth is the word that actually means to have intimacy to the point of understanding. That means I spent some time with him because I love him and I understand him now. And so I love according to his way. Amen. See, we have ways that we love people. I love you because you did something nice for me. I love you because I can control you. I love you. I love you because you've been, you know, you were there when I needed you, but then if I ain't got no more need for you, I don't love you. Come on and say, man, we have people that love us for whatever reason. We love because of actions. And you know what? God's kind of love, this agape love, is the kind of love that love without your action. It's the kind of love that know that you messed up and say, that's all right. I know you messed up, but I still love you. Amen. It is an unconditional love. It's not a love based off conditions. You love me because I give you this, or I do this for you, or because I'm this kind of person, but you love me in spite of me, because sometimes I might get down, sometimes I might not be what you want me to be, but you say I still love you.
Amen.
All right, he says, he that loveth is born of God and he knoweth God. I want to find out who knows God. And I can tell, and I'm not trying to boast of myself, but I can tell people who really know God. Because when you know God, you love people regardless of who they are, what they've done, what walk of life they come from. You don't look for things to judge them. Let me tell you, and the worst people in the world, and I know you might not like to hear this, the worst people in the world are church folk. Because they love people based off what, oh, Lord, have mercy. Y'all ain't got to say that. And I'm not putting it out because I'm a church person too, right? But I need us to understand that we cannot love people based upon they ain't doing nothing wrong right now.
Yeah.
How many of us love our children and they can be bad as ever and you still love them?
Amen.
You know your child capable of some stuff, but you get mad with the teacher because y'all don't hear me here.
Yeah.
You want to go bless her out. Oh, you about to lose your religion because you're that little monster you raising. You know how bad he is, and you've been praying God would save him because he's just like his dad. But you want to fight. You go cut up with the principal, the teacher, the woman that's flagging the buses. You mad with her because your little one just bad, but you don't stop loving him. And if you can love that little rascal, okay, all right. Let's get back. Tell me to get back on task here. Verse 8 says, for he that loveth knoweth, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And I, so many times I meet young people now and they just give up on God.
Yeah.
They don't want Jesus Christ. They don't want God. And most of it is because, one, is because somebody at church didn't show them the love that they expected.
Amen.
There are some expectations if you're going to wear this name. If you're going to say that you know Christ, if you affiliate with him and you're married to Christ because you're a part of the church, then there are some expectations of you. And many of our young people don't get what we are supposed to give them.
Amen.
The Bible says this, owe no man anything except to love him. And that's what I owe you. If I owe you anything, I owe you love.
Amen.
And some of us haven't paid our debt, not only to the people in the church with us, but we haven't paid our debt to the community. We haven't paid our debt to let the community know that we love them.
Amen.
Because that's them. It's down the road. It ain't at my house. I'm all right. I stay in my place. I don't go nowhere. But you ain't showing the love of God.
Amen.
So what good is that love on the inside of you if it doesn't manifest to someone?
Yeah.
Y'all still with me here? He says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. And so what he's saying here is that we, when you talk about being born again and all that Christian talk that we talk, you know, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, fire baptized, you know, all of that stuff. All of that don't mean nothing unless you can manifest love.
Amen.
All of that, all of the stuff that you say you do at church, I'm over this board and that board. You need a board on you, but, you know, I'm over there to get you right. We talk about all of that. But we don't manifest love. Oh, you let somebody come in here that's been guilty of some crime, and then we scared of them. We don't want to talk to them long. We don't want to deal with them. We running from them. We skeptical of them. And we talking about we got some discernment. Now you nosy.
Amen.
You ain't discerning that. You just nosy. But the Bible says, Paul said, I can love people because I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I just want to know, do you know him? I just want to know, are you saved? I just want to know, are you manifesting that as a child of God, as a son of God? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, it says that the whole creation, they're travailing and they groan. In other words, they are in birth pains for the manifestation of the sons of God. The people who are just like Jesus, who come without judgment, but they come with love. They come without any kind of fiend love, but an unfiend love, so that they could love people regardless of their situation. People, if you look at how the story of Jesus, and that's why I can't understand how the young people, they don't really know him. They don't understand him. They give up on Jesus so easily, and they don't really understand what his true purpose is. They think he's here as a spiritual Santa Claus. He should do something nice for me. No, he loves you. He's already done something for you. He's already given his life for you so that you don't have to die a death of a sinner, go to hell and burn forever. There is eternity. Either you can have eternal hell or you can have eternal heaven. And I choose to be the real estate agent that I am to tell you about this piece of land that is in a gated community, got 12 gates to the city, rather than tell you about the slum of hell. Oh, I wish I had somebody in here. He says, now I'm going to get back to this. He says, in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God has sent his only begotten son into the world that he might live through him, that we might live through him. He says that the God wanted to manifest his love. He could not manifest his love in the Jews because they separated themselves. Huh? He could not manifest himself in the Jews because they thought themselves above others because of God bringing them out of Egypt and through the wilderness. All of this stuff God did, these miracles that they did, they didn't think that they needed to share this word. They bottled it up and they kept it among themselves. But God said this message has to go further. And that's what God did. He sent Jesus so that the manifestation of his love. See, they talked about the judgment of God because that's all they knew. And because God judged them on several occasions and he allowed them to be destroyed in several times and they knew the judgment of God, but then they didn't understand the love of God. That's where people today, we talk about the judgment of God like God's some type of, you know, he's waiting around the corner to catch us doing something. I got you, and then he's going to punish us. That's not who God is. God already knew you were going to mess up before you messed up.
Yeah.
He's omniscient. He's an all-knowing God. And so since God knew you were going to mess up, he already took care of your mess up because he sent Jesus. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners. Y'all still hear me? While we were yet sinners, before we committed to sin, God sent Jesus to die for us because we were wicked and ungodly people. And so he came and died for us before the sin. And that's why you can't surprise God with your sin. He knew your plot and your plan. He knew what you were going to do. He knew how you planned it out, how you were going to do it. But God still, he let you do it and he still loved you.
Yes.
All right, okay. So it proves that we understand who God is when we know him and when we show love. When we show love, you understand who God is. When you don't know who God is, you want God to judge everybody.
Yeah.
God going to show them. God kill them. God do something with them. You know, that's what we do. You know, we got to stop hoping that God will just hurt our enemies and let us see him hurt them. You know, that's what we do. Lord, do it. And let me see you do it. We can't do that. We have to pray for our enemies. He said, if your enemy's hungry, if he's thirsty, give him water. He said, if they slap you on one cheek, and how do I do that? The Holy Spirit helps me to do what I couldn't do. Now, in myself, I can't turn that cheek. I'm honest with you. So y'all gonna look at me like y'all gonna turn the other cheek on your own. Unless you're scared, you ain't gonna turn the other cheek. And I ain't scared. But I'm saved. Y'all with me here?
Amen.
I feel all right here. So he says that, verse 10, let's go on. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Look at this. Why is John pleading with these people? Why is he writing a letter like this? Because he realized that we were going to need this kind of message, that we love one another. We have not loved one another because we hold grudges with people. As I said, we want our enemies to fail, but we need to pray that God save them, because if you got an enemy, guess what? Your enemy going to have children. You got children, then they become enemies. Then you got the Hatfields and the McCoys over here in Breedertown. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
So we need to pray for salvation for them and their children.
Yeah.
And so Jesus died for all of us, right? So it proves that God has, when we see love, it's sacrificial. When you see love, you understand that it's not a selfish thing, because God sent his son to die for us, right? And so that we couldn't save ourselves, so God came and what? Saved us. And so he said God loved us, and since God loved us, what you ought to do is love others.
Amen.
That's all God is requiring of us. He didn't require a whole bunch of that stuff that you're doing now. You know, all them rules that you put on yourself, all the rules that the church put on us. You know what? God didn't require, but we ought to follow the rules.
Amen.
But what he requires is that we follow love. And when we follow love and we do the thing that God has called us to do, which is love, and it's manifested, then God is glorified. And when people see the love of God, the Bible says that with love and kindness have I drawn thee. How do we draw people to the church? It's through love and kindness. And when they see the love of God and they see the kindness of the people of God, then they say, I want to be a part of that, because I can't find that nowhere else. I can't look at here, y'all. He said, look, we got to have a genuine love. The problem is that we've dealt with this counterfeit love so long, and we don't know what real is. If you want to know what real is from the fake, you need to deal with the real long enough so that you can understand what real is. And when